Welcome to Dante's Inferno. Welcome to Canto 14 of 34. And the theme of this canto are as follows. The blasphemers, Campaneus, the old man of Crete, and the source of the rivers of hell. So let's see what sort of a summary that is. Canto 14 by Dante, translated into English by, what's his name, Robin Kirkpatrick. Right, here we go. Seized in pure charity by love of home, I gathered up those scattered leaves, then bore them towards my countryman, his voice grown dim. And then from there we reached the boundary of circuits 2 and 3, and witnessed now in horror and awe how skilful justice is. To make more manifest what now was new, we'd reached, I'd better say, an open plain that dusts all vegetation from its floor. Round this the wood of pain creates a fringe, as likewise round that wood the wretched ditch, and here we halted at the very edge. The ground beneath was brushed with coarse dry sand, no different from those arid Libyan wastes on which the feet of Cato marched to war. Great God, your vengeance must be rightly feared by all who read the verses I compose, to say what there was straight before my eyes. I saw ahead a flock of naked souls, and all were weeping very mournfully, but each was subject to a different law. Some of these folk lay supine on the ground, and some sat huddling tight about themselves. Others again strode endlessly around. The latter were in number far the more. Those lying flat, though fewer, were in tongue more free at voicing their sharp miseries. And over all that barren sand there fell, as slow as alpine snow on windless days, a shower of broad-winged fire flakes drifting down. Recall how Alexander, on his march across the climes of scorching India, saw clouds of fire that fell around his troops and reached the earth still whole. He therefore made his squadron stamp the ground, since broken down these vapours proved far easier to quell. So too eternally the flames fell here. The sand caught fire like tinder under flint, and doubled from beneath the upper punishment. Unrestingly their wretched hands jived on, now up, now down, now high, now low, slap, clap, to shake fresh drops of ardour from their skin. So I began. You, sir, in everything have conquered all, though not those demons hard-faced at the gate of Dis who stopped us on that step. That hero there, who's he? Needless he seems of these incendiaries. Scowling in scorn, it seems he lies unripened by the rain. The man himself roared forth, for he had seen that I, in questioning my lord, meant him. What I once living was, so dead I am. Yes, Jupiter may tire the blacksmith out, from whom he tore in wrath the thunder spear by which I stood on my last day drilled through. And others too he may exhaust in ships that stoke the black forge under Mount Jabal, bellowing, Vulcan, aid more, aid, good man, just as he did when battle raged at Phlegra, and loose his bolts at me with all his force. But no sweet revenge he'd have on me. My leader then spoke out with greater strength. than ever I till then had heard him use. O Capaneus, pride yet uninterred, this punishment in consequence is yours. No agony except your own great rage would serve as proper answer to your ire. And then a better look around his lips, he turned to me. This man, he said, a king, was one of seven laying siege to Thebes. God he disdained, he seems to still, and seemed to pay him scant regard. So, as I said, disdain alone must be his sole medallion. And now keep close behind, take every care, do not set foot upon these blistering sands. Follow the wood's verge round at every step. In silence now, continuing, we came to where a rill flows spurting from the grove. Remembering its redness, I still squirm. As in Viterbo, there the bubble brook, which scarlet women bathing share between them, so this stream took its course across the sand. That rivulet in bed and bank was formed of stone, as also were the margins by its side. This, I could tell, was where our best path lay. Among so many other things that I, since entering the gate through which no foot is ever disallowed an entry, have shown to you, nothing your eyes have spied has been more noticeable than this stream here, above which all the sparks grow dim and die. These were the words my leader spoke to me, and I besought him, through his great largesse, to grant the food in granting me the hunger. Mid-sea, he said, there lies a land now waste. To us this land is known as Crete, where once, when Saturn ruled as king, the world was chaste. A mountain stands there. Mid-sea, he said, there lies a land now waste. To us this land is known as Crete, where once when Saturn ruled as king, the world was chaste. A mountain stands there. Eudaeus, its name. This once rejoiced in streams and leafy fronds, but now stands abandoned like forbidden ground. Once Rhea, seeking for a sanctuary, chose here to lay her boy-child Jove, and then to hide his wailings, called for dance and din. Within those caves an aged man stands tall, his back is turned to Egypt and Damietta. Rome is the mirror into which he stares. His head is modelled in the finest gold. Of purest silver are his arms and breast. Then downwards to the fork, he's brightest brass. And all below is iron of choicest ore. The right foot, though, is forged of terracotta. On that he puts more weight than on the left. And every part that is not gold is cracked. Tears through this single fissure drizzle down, then mingling penetrate the cavern wall. Their rocky course cascades to this deep hollow. They form the Axaron, Styx, and Phlegethon. These then disgorge themselves through this tight race until, since there is no way further on, they all collect as Cocytus. But you yourself will see that pool, so I'll not tell the tale. If, I now put to him, this gutter flows from somewhere in our human world, then why do we just see it at this selvage hell hem? You know, he said, this place is circular, yet far as you have sunk in your descent, Your path has always tended to the left, so you have still not spanned the circle round. And if new things now show themselves to us, it should not stir amazement on your brow. And I kept on at him, and so, sire, where are Phlegethron and Leth found? The one you say rains down in tears, the other you were silent of. By everything you asked, he said, I'm pleased. And yet, as one solution, you should note the seething redness of the waters here. Lead, you'll see, but far beyond this ditch, in waves or where the soul will go to wash. When guilt repented is at last removed. And then, it's time for you to leave this wood. So come, keep close behind me as you do. The banks which are not burned provide a road. These vapours are extinguished over it. Thus ends Canto 14 of Dante's Inferno, read by Paul O'Mahony.